I want you to take this sheet. You have 5 minutes to fill this daily living worksheet out. This is going to tell you how many hours per week you spend doing each category. Now, some of you are going to have some blanks on this. As you know, everyone's life is different. We put our time into different things. Some of our lives require more time in certain categories. Like right now, I have a 98-year-old mother that's requiring a lot of time. That's very different from when my children were small. So each life is different. You're going to have different things that you do. And each stage of our life brings differences to us. When my children were little, I was all wrapped up in the children, and I was teaching children. I was doing workshops on how do you teach preschool children all over the with the congregations, and helping a lot of congregations start the nursery department. At one time, back years ago, we didn't have nursery classes. You just babysat the kids. And then the church happened to click in and say, you know, we can teach these children. So we started a nursery class at the old Woodlawn, and so I got very involved in teaching those. But my life was different at that time. I'm retired now, and my children are grown, and my grandchildren are here. But I have found that I don't know when I had time to work. I have demands on me all the time, and my life gets all out of it gets unbalanced. But again, take 5 minutes. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. Decide your categories. How many hours per week do you spend doing the following task for a week? There is no right or wrong answer with this. It is your life. You don't answer to anyone else. You look at it and decide. You need some extras? Cindy, leave my student alone, please. All right, when you finish, I want you to total your column. Total. Now, some of you that are still working have at least 40 hours a week you're spending at work. Some of you spend 50 hours. Some of you spend 60 hours. But total that up, and you've got a blank for a total. All right, when you finish, please subtract your total from 168 hours. That's how many hours we have in a week. 168. Now subtract your total from 168. What you have left is the remainder, and that's how many hours you have left per week to do other things. I will not ask you to report. Some of you are already in the hole. Okay? Now just hang on to that, because here we go. We find Phoebe only mentioned one time in the Bible. That's in Romans 16:1-2. Paul says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church that is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord worthily of the saints, and that you assist her in whatever matter she may need of you, for she herself also hath been a helper of many and mine own self. What a commendation. One time. It doesn't say that she was a servant of the Lord, which we just assume that. It says that she was a servant of the church. She was serving in the church in some capacity. I have to tell you that I teased Dan because one version said she was a deacon. I said, what do you want, Dan? Do you want me to promote women's... Now, you know my brother-in-law. And so he knew what my belief was, too, and what the role of women should be. I know that we have Deborahs in this house. We always have Deborahs that are willing to go in and take charge and do it and take charge. So I know we have those in this house. I know that we have Esthers in this house. Those women that are very willing to go and say the things that somebody might not want to hear, but they need to be said. We have Esthers in the house. But what we need Phoebes in the house. We need servants. In Romans 16, 1 and 2, Paul says that Phoebe was a sister. That meant she was very vital to God's family. She was a sister in God's family. And he recognized that. She was a servant. That meant she was willing to take her talents and to put them to use for the Lord's family, to help the family to continue to function. It also says that she was a saint. That meant she was dedicated to spiritual growth. Now, Paul didn't say she was a superwoman. We can't find anywhere. I have not been able to. If you found that, please let me know. I cannot find anywhere in the scripture that says that God created superwomen. But we put this standard on ourselves. We have to be a super mom. We have to be a super grandmother. We have to be a super employee. We have to be a super this. We have to be a super that. And if we're not all these things, we're failures. That's not what you read in the Bible. We expect that everything we do must be the best. That is not the way the family is made up. We're not super women. Now, some of you may be superwomen, but I'll have to admit to you, I am not a superwoman. Now, I like to kill myself before I learned that, because I had to be good at everything that I did, and I had to be the best I could be, because that's part of my personality. But you can kill yourself doing that. You cannot be the best at everything. And God does not want us to wear ourselves out by killing us ourselves. We find the talents that we have and we use them to God's glory. And we use them in the family, because the family, as we've been hearing some of these wonderful lessons, reminding us that we're made up of many members and we each have a role. But again, we're not superwomen. He doesn't want superwomen. He could have created superwomen had he wanted to. Do any of you tell me, have you read in the Bible where God created a superwoman or either a super race of women? No. But God does expect us to be like Phoebe. He expects us to be servants. God's family needs Phoebes who can hold Hannah's problems in confidence and just reach out and take Hannah's hand and reassure her that the Lord loves her and everything's going to be all right. We need those kind of Phoebes. We need Phoebes who will do all the behind-the-scenes things that it takes to keep the family going with no recognition many times. But that's what we need, those types of Phoebes. We need Phoebes who will teach the children, wash the baptismal robes. At Roebuck, we make the communion bread. I don't know whether you do that here, but the women make the communion bread. We see that everybody has showers. We teach the gospel to the women that are lost. You visit, encourage, all of those things that we are so good at doing as servants, as women. Our question is, are you like Phoebe? I have another little task for you, if I can find it. Of course, some of this has already been messed up, so let me get the extras. I want you to do the same thing. Now I want you to write down how many hours you spend per week serving God. Everyone hear me? You got it? Write down how many hours a week you spend doing the following task. Benevolence is when you're helping others. Not necessarily when you're taking food for them, but anything that you do to help others. Same thing as the other. Total your column and then subtract that from 168 hours. How many hours do you have left over a week to serve? Look at both of your sheets. It's startling in a way when we really see it, isn't we? And when we look at it, I hear laughing coming from this back here. Somebody's in trouble. Tell me some other ways. We were talking about washing baptismal remote, doing the things in the church, serving. What do you think of when you say servant? What kind of service type jobs do we as women do in the church? Somebody speak up. I like an interactive class. I'm not going to do all the talking. Yes.
Take someone to the doctor, give someone a ride.
Giving someone a ride, taking them to the doctor. Yes. She said taking someone to the doctor or giving someone a ride when they need it. That's a service type task. What else?
Calling someone on the phone for another line. Someone else, calling, uplifting encouragement.
Okay. Somebody else?
Repeat that.
Would you repeat that?
So calling others on the phone that may be sick, uplifting and encouraging.
Yes, calling them on the phone. That's a wonderful work. A lot of people say, well, I can't even get out anymore. But you can pick up the phone and call. And you can be an encourager. And so you can do those types of things. Someone else?
Sending cards.
Sending cards. That's wonderful. I don't know how you do the cards here, but we have a card ministry. And I imagine you do too. And either the class is signed, the women's class signs. We make sure that everyone that is sick or anything has a ton of cards coming to them. And it's like Jeff's story. It has encouraged people to be open doors so they could be studied with. Yes.
Yeah, that was mine. Open up your home.
Open up your home, absolutely. Open that home up. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be a lot of food, but that encourages those, and the more we get together as a family, whether it's in small groups or whatever, you know, you can do that. Those men can't do that. I'm sorry. They're just not good at that, you know. And what we say in here stays in here, so you can't go out and tell it. But the truth is, men just do not do that very well. It's up to us. What else? Somebody else had a hand up. Talking to people when they need uplifting. When I lost my husband, I don't know what I would have done without this family. And I don't know what I would have done about my church family. Because I was awfully low. And it knocks the feet out from under you sometimes when these things happen. And you think, I don't understand, Lord. Why did you do this? Why did you take care of me? But those you can be such encouragers. Just a sweet, kind word. And you don't really have to say anything. Just a pat on the shoulder kind of says. A lot of people stand off because you don't know what to say. Well, you don't have to really say anything. Just be a servant with that kind, sweet spirit of a servant. And just be there for them. And that's really all you need to do. Other good comments. Something else. Yes.
Jonathan talked yesterday about evangelism. Not everybody is a fisherman. But that fisherman might need somebody to watch his kids so that he can go out.
Absolutely. And even if you can't teach, if you go with somebody who is teaching the lesson and there's children in that home, take those children aside and entertain them. while that lesson is being taught, because those parents are going to... I apologize to you. I got too far down. but those parents cannot focus on that lesson if their children are running around and screaming. So one of the best things you could do, hook up with somebody that's going out and studying. Even though you can't conduct that lesson, you can do that, and that helps tremendously. Okay, any other comments? These are good comments. Every congregation's different, and I think we have some from different congregations. Everything does, you know. Think, yes. Praying with each other helps, doesn't it? It really does. So those are the kind of things that we need to think about as when we're talking about. So there's many, many jobs we can do that's in the servant role. But now to be servants, we don't think like that in the United States, do we? This is a difficult concept for us to relate to. And so let's talk a little bit about what is it to be a servant? What does it take? Well, number one, we have to develop a servant's heart. We don't normally have that. We're pretty prideful people. We have a lot of pride. Now, if you're in the workplace and you have a responsible job, then if you're not careful, you're going to get so you just get filled up with pride because people are doing what you tell them to do, or you think they are anyway. Probably not, but anyway, you do have some authority and all of that. So if you're not careful, it is difficult to develop a servant's heart. I'm sorry, I can't even talk right now. One, I want you to focus on others and not on selves, and that is so difficult to do. I know a woman that all I heard her do for a number of years was, those people in the church don't do a thing for me. I don't understand it. They do for all these other people, but they don't do for me, and they should be doing for me because look at who I am, and they should be doing for me. And you do get, sometimes I step out of my servant's heart and say, wait a minute, sister. You know. And I finally said, what have you done for them? Never had been to a shower, had never done anything, had never shared any joy or sorrow or anything with the family of God. That's pride. That's not a servant's heart. So we have to put focus on other people and not ourselves. Now, the other question we have to ask ourselves is, do I do this so that I get recognition? Or do I do it because I'm a servant working behind the scenes and doing to keep the family going? Now, we like recognition. Some of us like more recognition than others like recognition because it has to do with our personality types. You see, my type, and I told some of you when I spoke to the ladies' class here one Wednesday night, my type is, if I clean a closet, I want everybody to come and look at that closet and say, that's the best clean closet I have ever seen. It is the best organized one. I have never seen a closet cleaned out any better. Now, if they don't, I probably won't clean another closet. I need that. Maybe it's not recognition, it's reaffirming what I have done. And if you have that, I have to really watch that because, you know, a lot of jobs we do, you get no recognition for it.
Your right hand not supposed to know what your left hand knows.
I knew there's going to be some smart aleck woman in this audience. But again, be careful with that because some of it we really have to know ourselves. Recognize your strengths and your weaknesses. Work on those things that you know, I want people to brag on me too much just so I'll do it again. And so learn that about yourselves. We have to think of ourselves as stewards and not owners. We don't own this stuff that we have and that stuff that we value so and this stuff that we have to have more of. You know, you get down to the bottom line, God owns it all. And we have to think about that because the master is the owner. And when you read about what the servants did in the Roman households during the time of Jesus, they did everything. But the master was the one that held the life and death in their hands. And we have a master, and he owns everything. And we don't get prideful and think about my house is better than yours, and therefore I can't be a servant because I live on such and such avenue, and that's where the, you know, or I drive a wonderful car, and you don't drive a wonderful car, therefore I'm better than you. It's difficult to have a servant's heart when you think that way. So we have to get that thinking out of our thoughts and not think that way. Second, we have to have a determination to serve. There's more to being a servant than just coming to the worship services and think you've pleased God. That worship service is for us. It keeps us going. It fills us up, encourages us. And so we can't just think that we're being a servant when we come just to worship. Now, look at your first sheet. Do you have to be determined to serve? Because daily life's going to eat up all your time if you're not careful. So you have to make a determination that you're going to serve and that you're going to be a servant in God's family. Now, this means that I have to plan my prayer time. Because if I'm going to be a good servant, the master has to talk to me. I have to know as a servant, what does the master want me to do? So I need some time that I'm talking to God. And I need to plan that time. When I was a young mother, it's amazing how you use prayer. When I was a young mother, I found myself with a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and another one on the way. And I realized one day that I'm doing too much punishment very quickly because I was stressed to the max. So I made this determination, okay, I'm going to pray before I punish. Okay? That gave me that would give me time to calm myself down and to maybe do a better job, because a lot of times we over-punish and then we say, want to watch cartoons? Yeah. Want a cookie? I got to make myself feel better because I know I've overreacted, you know. So I was going to pray. But one day, Steve, my 5-year-old, did something. I couldn't tell you right now. I could not tell you what he had done, but whatever it was infuriated me. And all I could see was that kid across the room, and I was headed for him, and all I could think was, get the kid, get the kid, get the kid. And just as I got to him, he looked at me and he said, let's pray. So, you know, I lost it, of course. I fell in the floor laughing, so I was not a very good one. But the point is, have your plan in place. Have your plan in place. And prayer time is one of those things. We have to plan some time to do that. We have to plan time to study because I have to know, again, what the master wants. Now, I'm going to tell you, I travel some still. And I will be honest with you. I am concerned about the church. Ladies, we've got to know the scripture because we're teaching those children. And we're teaching ladies' classes, and we're teaching in other ladies, and we need to know the scripture. And we have let that go a little bit. But you need to plan your study time because, again, if you're going to be a good servant, you've got to know what the master wants and how you're going to please him. So you need to study. You have to know God's word. Tell me some ways that you block out time for prayer. Anyone, I'd love to hear some of those. I have trouble with this because I think I've got my plan in place and it blows up in my face still. Especially does when you're a young mother. I mean, that just happens all the time. How do you deal with this? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What does he say?
She uses 5 minutes before she wakes them up to get ready for school because she knows she's got that time and it's going to be gone once they're awake. Because it's going to be tough getting them up, Matt Red.
Before going to bed.
I do that too, but a lot of times I go to sleep. Yeah. I've been rushing and rushing, and I go to sleep. Yes.
Before
you get out of bed. Oh, I need that cup of coffee in the morning before I do that. I need to change my habits, don't I? Yes.
Driving in the car.
You see, we think we've got to have this long, formal prayer. You don't. You don't even have to close your eyes. Please don't close your eyes if you're praying while you're driving in the car. Leave your eyes open. But again, so actually there's many opportunities for prayer. Before you go into that hospital room to visit, or before you have to go in and meet with that principal over your kid. I prayed some very funny prayers when I was using prayer to calm myself down. It was like, "Dear Lord, please keep me from killing this kid," you know. But God understood. And so pray at those times. And it doesn't have to be long. You just end up, if you think about it, you pray a, it's not a sit-down, formal-type prayer. You're communicating with them all day, okay? Next, you need some training time. You need to know how to use your talents. You need to develop them and use them. Now, you may be afraid, but don't be afraid to step out there and try it. There's always another sister in Christ that loves for you to help. And you learn how to do the things. We don't have, again, we don't have ownership in any of this, no matter what area it is. It is not mine and mine alone, because the Lord's family needs everyone. Needs everyone. So you get with somebody and learn. If you want to learn how to teach people the Bible, get with somebody that's doing that and develop your talent. You may be the best soul winner that this congregation has ever produced out of the women, but you need to learn how to do that. We're not just automatically know that at birth. So develop those talents and learn how to use those. And service time just happen. You have to plan your service time. When are you going to serve God? When are you going to do that? When are you going to visit the hospital? If that's one of your goals, as a service, I'm going to go visit those that are in the hospital. Do you just let that happen? Is the likelihood that it happens like that very high? No. It will never happen. You have to be flexible, though, because a lot of times I plan mine and then I get a call from others saying, "You need to come over here." You know, well, there goes my plan out the window, but I have to readjust it. But if I didn't plan it and my schedule around that time and block out that time, then those daily living just eats up all my time. And my service time is not what it should be. Third, I need to be committed to God. I need to think of service as an opportunity, not an obligation. It's a privilege to serve God. It's a privilege to work in His kingdom. It's a privilege to be in the family. How many souls in this world do not have the privilege we have in this room? How privileged you are. What a minority in numbers we are in this world. We have the proof. We're in the Lord's family. So anything we do as service is not an obligation. It is an opportunity. Have that mindset. Get our attitude adjustments going and get them going correctly. If you hear a bell and I don't, let me know. Is that the first bell? Okay. All right. Quickly. Your job, again, is getting out of the Supreme Court business. No one appointed you to the Supreme Court. Therefore, you think about your own responsibilities and how well you're doing them, and stop evaluating what others are doing. They're not going to do it like you. But it doesn't mean they're wrong. It's not our job to evaluate the master's other servants. You worry about yourself. And real servants base their identity in Christ. Okay? Hannah say, let me do that, and you get on out of the way. Esther say, let me tell you what you're doing wrong. Phoebe's just serve. Okay? Let us follow this wonderful woman's example, and we work together as one family toward spiritual maturity. Only then will we be able to reach the lost for the gospel of Jesus. My daughter teaches fifth grade. Every year she has them do an epitaph thing. She starts with these fifth graders and say, what do you want people to remember about you? And she talks about this and what would you like on that and how do you want them to remember you? You need to ask your question, how do you want to be remembered? I'd like to be remembered like Phoebe. I want to live a life in such a way that I'm remembered as a sister, that I'm remembered as a servant, and that I'm remembered as a saint. Okay, before this is over, thank you very much. But I've got some more instructions, and then we'll... All right. I have a little activity for you in the back. I want you to take it home, because now you've got your papers. You've got that filled out. Now, I'd like to tell you... Let's see, one side of this looks really well balanced. Each layer represents part of my life. Okay? And I'd like to say that all of mine is well balanced, but look, when you really do it, what happens? It's not really well balanced. Now, what I've done for you, and I want you to, there are bags on the back. Inside you have a little bottle, and you have 8 colors, little bags of colored sand. And your instructions are on this. You're going to use the 4 phrases of family, employment, recreation, and personal needs. And your other is evangelism, Bible study, benevolence, and prayer. Now, you can choose the color. Okay, I want yellow to represent this, or I want green to represent this. You're going to take these home. I want you to do them at home. And when you finish them, again, these layers would be thick or thin according to how your life is going. So please sure and get you a bag. Put it together at home, and then I want you to put it somewhere so you see it. Because we must not let our daily life eat up all of our time and not do service for God. We need to be like Phoebe's. This is a visual to help you to remember, keep your life balanced. Make sure I'm doing enough for the Lord. Make sure I'm taking care of things well. And I'm not overextending myself and doing a poor job at everything. So again, they're on the back table. And I've enjoyed being with you. Let's close with a prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time to be together as women. Our needs are different. We all have differences. We all have needs. Help us to identify and depend on you. Identify what we need to do in our life with you. Be with us through the rest of this lectureship. Thank you for this wonderful time for the lessons we've heard and for the service that we can provide for you. Thank you for the opportunity of serving you and the honor it is to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.